Harper Audio presents Against All Odds, A Life from Hardship to Hope, written and read by Scott Brown.
Prologue. By the time I turned 18, I had moved 17 times and lived in at least 12 different homes. Most were rental apartments, second-floor walk-ups, and slightly sad and dilapidated converted houses, where walls had been added and the rooms and floors chopped up one by one. My bed, when I had one, was invariably under the hard slope of the eaves. I also made do with couches and cots, and there was a time when my mother, my sister, and I all slept in the same small room. When I was 12, our apartment's backyard stood at the edge of a thick tree line and was so damp and dark that the dirt ground stayed bare all year round. Of the five houses I knew, one was a doll-sized rental in the backyard of another home, and the other four belonged to relatives or to whatever man my mother happened to be married to at the time. We were visitors there. They were never our own. At school, I was often a free lunch kid, ravenous for whatever hot food came out of the cafeteria line. Constrained by her choices, good and bad, my mother worked hard, often at multiple jobs, to keep a roof over us, put clothes on our backs, and pay babysitters. And she bought food and a few extras with whatever was left over. I remember days when the largest things we had in our fridge were milk and blocks of yellow government-issue cheese. My dad was largely gone from my life before I turned one. He materialized only on rare weekends. A smooth talker, with his foot on the gas and the convertible top down. A couple of times, when I ran away, he was my destination, but even then, I never stayed long. Looking back, what saved me was basketball, a game, ironically, that was homegrown, invented in the western Massachusetts city of Springfield in 1891 by a YMCA instructor who was looking for a way to keep his gym class busy during a bout of rain. He started with a peach basket, a soccer ball, and borrowed rules from a kid's game known as Duck on a Rock. I doubt Dr. James Naismith could have pictured me, as a kid of 12, 13, or 14, riding my bike several miles after a snowstorm with a ball cradled under one arm and a snow shovel clutched in my hand to clear off the courts so I could shoot hoop. Not just for 10 minutes, but for hours on end, until my fingers got so numb that I could no longer feel the ball balanced between them. What saved me, too, were my friends, my teammates, my coaches, and even the cops and a judge and later the military, although I didn't quite know it all then. I could have easily been the kid with the rap sheet and the long record, rather than the accolades and the record-high scores. I look back on my life now, though, and I can honestly say that there isn't one thing I would change. Not the arrest, not the violence, not the hunger, not the beatings and the brute struggles, not even cleaning up someone else's vomit in the stairwell of my dorm at Tufts for $10 and quick cash from the resident advisor because I had no money for extra food. I wouldn't change my decision to pose for Cosmopolitan magazine, which helped to pay my way through law school, forced me to grow up even more quickly, ultimately led me to meet my wife, and also slowly led my father back toward me. Whatever the widest boundaries are for a Wrentham selectman, a Massachusetts state senator, or a United States senator, I am sure that my life lies outside them. But I wouldn't change any of it, because while it was too often hell as a boy, and myself was at times a hellion, those years and that life made me the man I am today. I hope, too, they made me a better man.
Chapter 1. Busted. The Liberty Tree Mall was our last stop. It sits right off Route 128 in Danvers, Massachusetts. Its big anchor stores rising up flat and square like stackable Lego blocks. At one end was a Sears with tools and tires, appliances and overalls, and at the other a Leachman store with displays of shiny new luggage and sporting goods, jewelry, as well as an electronics section, and most important, a record department. We pulled into the lot, away from the hum of highway traffic, headed south toward Canton or Braintree, or looping around toward Boston itself. One of my good friends was riding shotgun in the car. One of his buddies was driving. Both were a couple of years older than me, and both were basketball players. I was sitting in the back seat. I was 13, a few months shy of 14, but I was already closing in on 5'11". my hair hung long, skimming over my shoulders, drooping into my eyes. I was lucky in that moment. Not lucky that I was along for the day. I had been hanging around these guys for a couple of years, shooting hoop, going to their parties, sipping their beer. That afternoon, I was lucky I wasn't the one driving.